college student would like to have done, and that is we're going to have the whole course on world history in one night. That's right. Tonight I want to talk about God's plan for the ages. We're going to talk about the history of man from beginning to end. Okay? Isn't that exciting? You're really thrilled. Keep a group like you wide awake. What we want to do is we want to see what was God's plan for you and for me in terms of His overall plan for the ages, for the world. So let's just pause, have a word of prayer, and ask God to speak to our hearts. Father, the psalmist said, Thou hast made my tongue the pen of a ready writer. And how that is my prayer tonight. Father, I pray that You will communicate from my heart and mind these thoughts from Your Word to these people. And Father, I know that unless Your Holy Spirit enlightens and instructs and challenges everyone that's here tonight, my speaking will be as a dripping faucet or a squeaking wheel. And so, Lord, we are dependent upon You both as speakers and as hearers to have this night be profitable and meaningful in our lives. Amen. God's plan for the ages. One of the things you're going to learn tonight is that I am not an artist. Now that singing was really good and I got involved in it, which is not always the best thing you're going to do if you're going to speak. Oh, that's better. God's plan for the ages. What is God's plan for the ages? Well, we all know where it all begins. Genesis chapter 1. And God created heaven and earth in verse 1. And that's not what we want to talk about. We don't want to talk about God's plan for this planet. We want to talk about His plan for man. And so we start in Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowls of the air, and over every living thing that moved upon the earth. And so God started off with a man. And a woman. Two people. In the Garden of Eden. This is an easy way to take notes. This is I picked this up working with Marines. they take notes like this. And God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply. Now, God's objective for Adam and Eve was for them to be fruitful and to multiply. Now, when God gave this commandment to Adam and Eve, He was talking to two perfect human beings. People who were perfectly united with God, people who were in perfect fellowship with God. And when He told them to go be fruitful and multiply, He wasn't thinking of them doing anything except multiplying exactly what they were. And one of the principles that we find in the Scriptures is that everybody and everything reproduces after its own kind. Apple trees bear apples. Banana trees bear bananas. People have people. It's amazing, isn't it? Everything after their own kind. They grow and they multiply after their own kind. And so what God wanted Adam and Eve to do was to multiply after their own time. be fruitful and multiply. Get more people for me to fellowship with. This was God's first commandment to man. This was the first job that God Almighty gave to human beings. Go make more like you are, people who can have fellowship with me, people whom I can talk with, whom I can love, who can respond back with me. Now, God could have produced man to come into the 21st century. God could have started everything in the 21st century. There was no need for him to start where he started. He could have started any place he wanted with man. But I think I know why God didn't start in the 21st century. And that is because man in the 21st century would have always done the wrong thing. You see, what he would have done is he would have said, oh, God wants us to go be fruitful and multiply. Well, we better build a computer and figure out this thing. And so they would have built this big, complicated computer. And then they would sit around and they would finally get the answer. And they would come up and they'd say, now here we've got it. We'll build a baby factory. That's right. And if you read Alvin Toffler's book, Future Shock, you will realize how close we are today to having baby factories. And if you want to be shocked out of your skin, you read that book. Future Shock is present shock. And they're talking today about cloning, whereas that they take one cell from any person, and from that one cell they'll reproduce an exact duplicate of that person. Every gene and chromosome exactly the same. And the predictions are that it's going to occur any place in 0 to 14 years. Baby factories are on the way. I don't know if God is going to return to earth before they are created. But if he doesn't come, you better believe it's going to be here. Get prepared. Don't sit there like so many Christians have done throughout the years and say, oh, God will never let them do that. God will never let them get to the moon. Oh, no. That's what people said a few years ago. You know, unless you've got a verse of Scripture that says God will never do that, don't say it. And if you've got that verse of Scripture, show it to me later because I don't know it. But you see, what man would have done is he would have created this big baby factory. This woman that Bob talked about, you know, that has a child and once every 6 minutes. And here would have been this big baby factory, you know, and there would have been all the wheels, and out of the, you know, there would be the conveyor belt, and there would be, you know, the babies coming out. Once every, you know, 6 minutes. One more. You know, Stork Enterprises. Now, why didn't God want there to be a baby factory? Well, I think for two reasons. For one reason, you have a baby factory, you don't have anybody to take care of the babies. And one of the things that God's Word reminds us over and over and over again is that God is concerned that every baby of His has care from somebody who can care for him. And factories are rather impersonal little items. But the second reason is that I think that God didn't put man in the 21st century, start him off there, is because He wanted to go faster. He wanted it to grow faster. You see, if we produce one every 6 minutes, that's 10 an hour. That's 240 a day, 365 days in a year. Man, I wish I was a mathematician. I could figure that one out. What is that? Roughly 800,000 a year? Something like that. No, 80,000 a year, roughly. A little bit more. Would you mind, Don? Thank you. And, you know, so after the end of the year, you got 80,000. How many you get the next year? 80,000 more. How many you get the next year? 80,000 more. How many you get the next? And what you're talking about is not what God said to do, which was He said to multiply. What you're talking about is adding. And you add and you add and you add and you add and you add. And addition goes slowly, whereas multiplication goes quickly. Let me demonstrate to you about multiplication. You see, the difference between addition and multiplication is addition. You keep putting one more on, or another group on, another six more, another 10 more, another 240 more, whatever it is, you keep adding. And 240 a day, to make the present world population, that would take some 5,400 years by adding. But suppose we start with multiplying. And I want to demonstrate what multiplication is, and that is where you reproduce reproducers. That you divide your dividers. Or you multiply your multipliers. For instance, supposing I take a piece of paper, and let's suppose that it was 1/1000th of an inch thick. 1/1000th. Now this piece of paper is regular writing paper, and it is about 2.5 thousandths. Cigarette paper, I didn't have any on me. I left my roll at home. Cigarette paper is about 1/1000th of an inch thick. Okay? And let's supposing that you take and tear it in half. And then you double it over. You see? You've multiplied it. You've gone from one thickness to two. Then you tear it, but now you don't tear one piece. You tear both pieces in half. And you go from two to four. 4/1000th of an inch thick. Supposing I tear it a third time, I go from 4 to 8. Supposing that all the, you know, there's air caught in between this. It isn't lay perfectly flat, so you have to excuse it. But, ignorant paper. And so you've got 8/1000ths of an inch. So then we tear it in half again, and you go up to 16. Now, I'm going to give everybody an opportunity to exercise again. Supposing I tore it 50 times. Now I want you to think, how high would that stack be? Okay, everybody stand up. Now, if you think that that stack would be an inch or less, sit down. You've torn it 50 times. You started out with 1/1000th of an inch. It's be an inch or more. Not many takers. Okay, how about a foot? If you think it would be a foot or less, sit down. Okay, how about as high from the floor up to the ceiling here? What is that, about 28 feet, 30 feet. Okay? From the floor to the ceiling. 50 times I've torn this piece of paper. It goes from the floor. If you think it would be that high or less, sit down. Okay? If you think it would be as high as the Empire State Building or less, sit down. Okay? If you would think that it, let's see, I flew down here on a 727. They fly at about 30,000 feet. That's almost 6 miles. 6 miles up in the air. 30,000 feet up to the sky or less. If you think it would be that, sit down. Okay? If you think it would go all the way to the moon, and all the way up to the moon, or less, sit down. Come on, you guys really think that, or are you just putting me on? You're thinking. You've already heard this before, Armin, you Bacotten Pigger. The problem, you come back and use the same illustration, you know, the people have been here before, they know what the answer is. Okay? How about all the way to the moon and all the way back? I lost a couple on that. How about to the moon and back twice? Okay? These people are standing. How far do you think it's going to go? No, it doesn't reach the sun. The sun is 7 light minutes away. You know, light. You know what a light minute is? That's how far light travels in 1 minute. It's a pretty good thing. You know, something traveled at the speed of light. If I shot a bullet here, it would go out there and it would pass through my body 6 times before you heard the bullet, before you heard the gun go off. If a bullet went at the speed of light, go around the world 6 times, pass through my body 6 times. The fact of the matter is. Sit down. I have no further use for you. The fact of the matter is, if you took this piece of paper, 1/1000th of an inch thick, tore it in half and doubled it over 50 times, it would be equivalent to going to the moon and back and to the moon and back and to the moon and back and to the moon and back. And 30 more round trips. That's multiplication. That is multiplication. Let me give you another illustration of multiplication. There's a story, many of you have probably heard this one, about the king of many days gone by, who had a servant who pleased him. And he said, you can have anything you wish. You can have jewels or this or that or whatever. And this servant said, well, keep all your jewels and everything, O king. What I would ask is that you bring in your chessboard. And on the first square, you would put just 1 grain of wheat for me. And on the second square, that you would just put 2 grains of wheat for me. And on the third square, 4 grains of wheat for me. And on the next, 8 grains of wheat for me. And so continue until the chessboard is filled. And the king thought to himself, what an idiot my servant is. And he brought in the chessboard. And an hour later, he had his servant hung. That's the way the story goes. It's a legend. Why? Well, because if you were to actually go through and by doubling the amount of wheat on every square and so cover a chessboard, you would have enough wheat to cover the whole continent of India, or the country of India, 50 feet deep. It is more wheat than has been produced. The United States doesn't, you know, what we produce every year, all these big carloads full, doesn't even begin. All of the production of the United States since the beginning of the United States would not equal that much wheat. That is multiplication. God wanted Adam and Eve to multiply. Because he wanted them to fill this world with people whom he could have fellowship with. God started with a man. His objective was to have people that he could fellowship with. And his method was multiplication. But the plan went awry. And Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the garden. And the next major event in world history was the fall of man. Sin. The next major event of world history was that man sinned. And the image was marred. And although you and I still, in a certain sense, bear the image of God, in that we can have a relationship with God, we're not in the image of God in the same sense that Adam was before he had sinned. The image has been marred. And things got worse and worse and worse. And we read in Genesis 6, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for he repented me that I have made them." And he said, I've had it. They are not reproducing. They are not multiplying people that I can fellowship with. I'll just wipe them out. And in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you know the story. He told Noah, go make a boat. Have a one-man yacht club. And I want to talk a little bit more tomorrow morning about Noah. He's a fantastic Bible character. And the next major event in world history was the flood. That's an ark. I could have gone like this, but that wouldn't have... That's an ark. And so Noah was aboard the ark with his people. And what God essentially did here was he went back to one man and one woman. He took Noah and his wife. He said, well, let's start all over. And so God started the second time to work over. And after the flood receded, we read in Genesis chapter 9, starting at verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. You see, God never changed his mind. He said, get back out there, be fruitful, multiply, go get some more people that I can have fellowship with. Genesis 9, 1. In verse 7, and you... be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. God didn't want them to miss it. Repeated it three times. For multiply, multiply, multiply. So again, we see God started with a man. His objective was to fill the world with people whom he could have fellowship with. And his method was multiplication. One person or one couple having one offspring. Or two offspring, and they getting together, and they have offspring, and then more and more and more, until you have a big family tree coming on down. Well, then we read in Genesis 11 what happened to these people that started multiplying. And they were all of one language. And they said, man, we better make ourselves a name. And they no longer were concerned about fellowshipping with God, but about establishing their own reputation. And they started making what is known as the Tower of Babel. And the next major event in world history was man being frustrated by God and the failure of the program the second time around. Now, God told Noah after the flood that he was never going to destroy the earth again. He said, I won't destroy the earth again. I won't destroy all the people that are again. So he didn't say, he said, I can't go back and try again. I can't start again. So this time, instead of destroying all the people, what he did is he chose one man. And in Genesis 12, verse 1, we read, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house unto land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And so what God did is, instead of destroying all of the people of the world, he singled one man out, Abram. And from here on, once he had singled out Abram, world history, from God's perspective, God ignores everybody else and centers on one person and his descendants. And he said, I am going to bless you, and I'm going to make you fruitful, and you're going to multiply. So the next major event in world history was the establishment of the Jews. God establishing the Israeli nation. And you know the promises of God. God said to Abram, I'm going to give you a son. And so he had a son, Isaac. And he said, in Isaac shall your seed be called, or in Isaac you are going to have further offspring. And so Isaac had a son named Jacob. He had another son, but one in particular, Jacob. And Jacob had another name, and his other name was Israel. And after Israel, from him, all that were born were called Israelites. And here we have the founding of the great nation of Israel. And from henceforth, from this point in history on, God ignores the other nations. Now, he doesn't ignore them in the sense he doesn't know what they're doing. He knew what they were doing. But God never deals with any other nation other than the Jewish nation. God dealt with the Jews. He used the other nations in his dealings with the Jews. But it was with the Jews. And you and I, we the Gentiles, were excluded from God's economy. And God dealt with the Jews. And in Exodus 1, chapter 7, we read what was happening with these people. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. And God took these people and he started to do what he said he was going to do. He started to multiply. God said, I want more people like you, Abram. I want more people to have fellowship with. So he came back to a man. His objective was to have fellowship with people, and his method was multiplication. Well, once again, the plan got thwarted. The religious jokers got in there. And all the Pharisees got this thing all wound up. Got all the religious rules and the religious rites and all this in there. And the people got frustrated. And things... Yeah. And things got worse and worse. Until Jesus, in Matthew 23, verse 38... Well, verse 37, talking to the Jews, says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent of thee, how oft would I gather thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house has left you desolate. And the next major event in world history was the desolation of the Jewish temple. It's a little sign that says vacancy. There's the temple. Like a motel with the sign out front, vacancy. And God left the Jewish temple. No longer was God's abode with man inside the building, inside one nation. And the plan was frustrated. So God began again. And it was simultaneous beginning. But once again, God began with a man, Jesus Christ. And God said, okay, I'm going to use Christ. And Jesus told us, Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples. Make people that I can have fellowship with again. Reproduce in the people of them. And what you do is you take them and you teach them everything whatsoever I have commanded you. This is a beautiful commandment. It is a reproducing commandment. See, if I take a person and I teach them everything that I know, or let me put this in a different way. Here's Peter. If he takes a man and teaches this man everything that he knows and teaches him to do everything that he was told to do, one of the things that he's going to tell this guy to do, tell the next guy everything I've taught you. Because that was one of the commandments that Christ gave him. And so then he's going to do it to the next guy, and to the next, and to the next. And there's going to be reproduction. And there's going to be multiplication, because multiplication is based upon the fact of reproducing reproducers. God started with a man. His objective is to fill this world with people with whom he can have fellowship with, disciples. And the method that he is using is multiplication. You see, we could take this auditorium, and it seats nearly 1,000, I guess. We can fill in some chairs if it doesn't. Let's say it seats 1,000 people. And let's say we're really going to go out there and reach this world for Jesus. And we start, and we'll have a meeting tomorrow morning. And we go out, and we go out through Norman Park, and we get everybody within a 20-mile radius of this place, I guess. I don't know. And we fill this place with people. Everybody is an unsaved person. Every person's a non-Christian. And we'll get the most crackered, you know, we'll have the group up here singing again. We'll have the best Cracker Jack evangelist we have here today, tonight. And he'll preach the word. All 1,000 will get saved. And we usher them all out and we say, man, that was great. And we go out in the afternoon. Tomorrow afternoon we get 1,000 more. Bring them in. 1,000 more get saved. We go out tomorrow night. We get 1,000 more. We bring them in here. 1,000 more get saved. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? And we really get excited about this thing. And we decide, we make a rule. If you've once attended our meeting, you can't come back. No, you can't come back. You've been here, sorry, you got to go. We only have seats for the unsaved. We only allow unsaved people to come in. And we're reaching 1,000 every morning, 1,000 every afternoon, and 1,000 every evening. And we're really excited about this because we're evangelizing like crazy. Now, how long would it take us to reach the present world population? Years. How many people do you think are going to be born in the next 1,840 years? That's because we've been adding again. Adding 1,000 to 1,000 to 1,000 to 1,000. But supposing you take your life and you say, well, I'll reproduce in one other individual. And in 6 months, there's two of you. And you both go out and you reach one more. 6 months later, there's four of you. And you each go out and reach one more. 6 months later, there's eight. 5 years later, there's 1,000. Man, we could have reached that tomorrow morning. 10 years later, there's 1,000,000. 17 years later, there's over 4 billion people. Now, that's a little bit idealistic. I don't think that you are going to all reproduce in 6 months. I've had enough experience around this thing to watch it. But I've watched a lot of men and a lot of women, some of them with limited capacity, some of them with much capacity. And I would say that most everybody can reproduce their life in another individual in a 2-year period. Not 6 months, but in 2 years. And if you reproduce your life in two people, or in one person every 2 years, and let's say you've got 30 productive years of your life, you can reproduce in the lives of 32,000 people. And let me ask you this. Do you know of any other way where you personally can affect 32,000 lives for Jesus Christ? I know Billy Graham can do it a different way, but I doubt if we got any here tonight. Any replacements for Billy? I know I'm not. Most of the people that I've met here, I know they're not. But you can have a ministry. 32,000 people. Isaiah 60:22 says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time, before He dies. God wants to use your life to make disciples, to reproduce in another individual. Because what God wants is the same things He's wanted since the dawn of creation. He wants more people to fellowship with. And God's commandment to man has never changed. He never rescinded the commandment He gave here, nor here, nor here, nor here. He said, go, be fruitful, multiply, reproduce other people whom I can have fellowship with. And I've got great news for you. The first three times have ended up in failure. The fourth time ends up in success. The plan, failure. The plan, failure. The plan, failure. The plan, giant success. Because we read in 2 Peter 3. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons you ought to be in all holy conversation and godliness. You know, this thing is all going to dissolve. If man made it, God's going to burn it. It's a wonderful promise. You know, you can go out and you can give your life for a lot of different things, gang. Some of you have got one big objective. Man, I want to get that big sheepskin. I want to get a lot of knowledge. What do I want to learn? Why? You want to make disciples? Or you just want to learn for learning's sake? I don't have anything against college. I went through college. Are you in college to be in college? Are you in college because that's God's will for your life? Are you in college because you didn't have anything better to do when you finished with high school? Passing the time away? Happy Christian? Big fellowship? Gang, we've got an enemy who has since the dawn of creation done everything in his power to thwart God's plan. He succeeded in the garden. He succeeded at Babel. He succeeded in seeing God vacate the temple of the Jews. And frankly, I think in the lives of some of you, he is succeeding in keeping you from reproducing. Are you going to give your life for making disciples? God's plan for the age is to start with a man or a woman. What He wants to produce is more people that He can have fellowship with. And the method that He can use in your life, whether you're small, whether you're insignificant, whether you don't know much, or whether you're a lot, is multiply. You can multiply in the life of another individual in the next 2 years. And you know it. You know that's feasible. You know that's possible. Are you going to do it? Are you going to go and make disciples? Are you going to get involved in God's plan for the age? Or are you going to let it slip on by? Are you going to get to sit down, be another Christian, goes to church on Sunday, comes to the Navigator rally, big grin on your face, sings, "Oh, how I love Jesus," but never demonstrates it by reproducing more people that Christ can fellowship with? Are you going to go make disciples? World history can be compressed into four sections. Adam to Noah, which spans about 2,000 years. Noah to Abraham, which spans about 2,000 years. Abraham to Christ, which spans about 2,000 years. Christ at fire, smoke, to the end of the world. Is it going to be 2,000 years? It's already been 1971. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what kind of person should you be? What should you be involved in? You know what God's plan for the age is. And although He may want you to be a bricklayer, He may want you to be a school teacher, He may want you to be a Marine for the rest of your life, I don't know. You can make disciples. Let's pray. Father, how I do pray that the many people that are here tonight who have never realized that Your great commission is to make disciples would be impressed with that tonight. Not because I've said it, but because You've said it. And that they would see that Your plan for this time, for this age, has been the same as always, that You want to use an individual to reproduce others who are going to be fellowshipping with You, and that they might dedicate themselves to this task. Lord, cause them to quit the Mickey Mouse, the playing around, the playing the game of being a navigator, playing the game of being a Jesus lover, and get down to brute reality and start investing their lives in the lives of others. Amen.